morning, Glass. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Now, what do you guys do in the parade annually? Is that something that you guys throw out some squad cars, or are you too busy making sure nobody's illegally crossing streets or the route stays on? Is this a work and a play day combined?
A little bit of everything, yeah. We'll have a squad car lead the parade. We always do. And then we've got officers set up in a variety of areas. Along, we'll utilize our parking to help us as well to make sure that the roads are closed where they need to be and that the parade can flow smoothly and safely. And we use a lot of our other local police partners in the area to help put that parade off. But they have a lot of fun every year. We'll have our explorers marching in the parade again this year like we did last year. So that'll be fun also. The kids love doing that.
No doubt. Being in a parade
fun.
Is fun.
It is fun. It's a lot of fun.
And speaking of fun stuff, we were at Touch a Truck a couple of weeks ago, and the kids, they look like kids. They're all young. All the kids from your department, and obviously Ellettsville and IUPD and everybody that was out there participating, just nothing but friendly, nothing but helpful. That's what we expected. But it's great to see the cars. I made sure my kids sat in the back of both of them to give them a perspective they don't want ever again in their life.
Yeah, those nice,
he's traumatizing his children.
Yeah.
No, I asked my little boy. I said, "Is that comfortable?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, you don't want to ride back here. You want to, if you need a lift, they'll help you out on the other side." But I just wanted to give everybody involved with that. It was an unbelievable turnout, number one, and your crew out there, all in their deep blues, sitting in 87 degree sunshine, beating down on them. That's some service. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, we enjoy that kind of stuff. It's what we always talk about on the show, about the community engagement, the stuff we're trying to do. You know, we really enjoy doing it. We really enjoy getting out there with the community, which reminds me, we've got another Coffee with a Cop coming up July 6th.
I
so First Financial Bank on
that.
North Walnut.
Yeah,
9 a.m., I believe. That's going to be another fun one. So it's a great time for, you know, people to come out and talk to us about a lot of different things. So that's coming up as well. But we just really enjoy being out in the community, talking to the people in the community, and particularly the kids. We love helping out the kids, which, again, is part of our Teen Academy that we've got coming up the last week of July. Still spots available. Taking applications till the 1st all this week. So, you know, if people are interested or haven't got their kids signed up yet, they should do it, because, you know, you talked about that Touch a Truck and the kids having the opportunity to get in there. Well, they're going to do a lot of playing with stuff like that.
They get a chance at all the big toys.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
A little more intense than just that, I'm guessing, than just touching the truck. So.
And
tell everybody what the Teen Academy involves, how long it runs, and who's eligible to sign up.
Well, from July 24th, it's all week of July 24th, we're going to run that Teen Academy. It's from 8 in the morning till 5 at night. And then on Friday, we'll finish up about 3 in the afternoon with a little graduation ceremony for the kids. We're looking at teens ages 13 to 17 to come out. And if they're interested in law enforcement, they're interested in what we do. We spend an entire week doing demonstrations. They get to meet and talk and work with a variety of officers. We'll have a number of officers down there throughout the week. Our SWAT team will come out, and they'll get to see how they work. Our training unit will be out there showing them how we train on issues like use of force, utilizing a firearm simulator unit. We're going to teach them how we learn how to drive, and they're going to get a ride around in police cars. And then we do a lot of team building exercises, calisthenics, I'll give them a little feel for a police academy, things like obstacle courses and a lot of fun stuff like that. And mostly a lot of interaction. We've gotten local businesses to donate food for the event, so you don't even have to provide lunch. We've got that taken care of. And, you know, we can take as many as 60 kids. I think right now we've got a little over 40, 45, so we've still got spaces available this week. And anybody that's interested or they think their kids will enjoy it. And we have so much fun, and the kids just have a blast.
Do we go to the city's website to find more information or to sign up? What's the easiest route to do that?
You know, the easiest route to do it is just email me. Just email me, and I can send everything electronically to them. My email address is kellamss@bloomington.in.gov.
Perfect. And we'll put that on our Facebook page as well, so anybody that's looking for I don't want to say last minute, but that deadline's coming up on that's – when is the 1st? The 1st is right around the corner, isn't it?
It is.
It's Saturday?
Yeah, next week.
Saturday.
Sunday.
It's Saturday. it's Saturday because I'm having a cookout that day, so I have to remember.
like you, Captain Kellums, my invitation also got lost in the mail for all of it.
Okay, if you guys want to come, 6 o'clock at my house.
There we go.
All you have to do is let me know you're available. And
tell them Margaret sent you.
Yeah. Hey, no, it's at my house. You don't have to say anybody sent you.
Captain Kellums, can you give me a ride? We'll turn those fancy lights on and make sure we get everybody's attention. We'll make a grand entrance.
We can.
You could do that. You will have a lot of people wide-eyed and wondering what I'm doing over there. So, no, we would love to have you. So
That is Saturday, though. All kidding aside, because we need to have everybody signed up so we know how much food we have to have. We know how many instructors we have to have. So it is kind of a tight deadline there.
So
it gives us, by doing it July 1st, it gives us enough time to get T-shirts ordered, to get all of the things that we're going to provide the kids, make sure we've got food, again, from the people who are donating it in there. So that's the reason we have that deadline, is to help us get everything planned.
So Saturday you had quite an event, it looks like, seeing all these young people looking like they were doing their calisthenics and so forth for your hiring process. So how did that go?
It went well. Saturday is a busy day for us. We do the first two portions of our hiring process on Saturday. We did the physical fitness assessment test. They have to perform at the level that it's needed to graduate from the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy. That way we know when they hire them, they're prepared physically to pass all of the training that they need to do. And then if they successfully complete that portion, they move on to the written portion of the test.
Glass is
going to
volunteer. Glass is going to volunteer for the physical part and see how he compares.
As long as you are paired with the IU Health Bloomington Hospital ambulance service, I will try anything at least one time until they drag me away from all of that. But you have to be in shape mentally. You have to be in shape physically, and that's part of it.
So do you have some new hires then?
Well, this is just the first stage of about a four-month process. So we'll get the test results back on the written test, and then we will have interviews. It's an oral board interview for the applicants to pass the written portion. That will take place over the next couple of weeks. And after that, we move into background investigations, a truth verification test. They have to take either polygraph or voice stress test. And then if they pass that, we move on to the pension board process of hiring, because they have to be members of the Indiana Police and Fire Pension Fund to work for the Bloomington Police Department. And so that requires an actual physical exam by a doctor, as well as mental evaluations by a psychiatrist. So those are the next two steps, and then the approval by the state pension board. So that's why this process takes 3 or 4 months to do. And, when we work through it, we end up with the best candidates for the job, and we get really excited and happy about getting those people hired.
Well, I saw that you have here just not too late. You've just had 3 people you had said that you'd hired on, Dakota Owens and Anna Lawrence and Matt Lucas. It sounds like they are new officers that have joined.
They are brand new. Yes, we hired them January of this year, and we sent them off to the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy, and they just graduated from the academy on the 16th of June, and now we've got them into our department and putting them through our field training program. So that's where we're going to start teaching them over the next 17 weeks, working with an officer, with an experienced officer and trainer who's going to show them the ins and outs of how to be a police officer in Bloomington. And it's really how we maintain a real high professional standard at the department, and it's something we're very proud of.
Well, welcome to them. We have talked, the last time we were talking to you, we talked about the fact that the mayor had made a declaration and were working with Mike Dekoff on getting People's Park kind of cleaned up and getting some of those folks moving on instead of sleeping under benches and so forth. And I will have to tell you, it is so nice to see the way that that park looks right now. Thank you.
Well, good. We're happy to hear that.
Everything that you've done in that regard. Unfortunately, what has happened, and this has not just been noted by me, it's been stories in the newspaper, and there's letters to the editor to the effect that there's been a contingent of folks who've decided that now what they're going to do is make the sidewalks down on Kirkwood truly unpleasant. And kind of some of the people I'm talking to are getting harassed by these people. What is the next step in this process? Because obviously we knew this was going to happen. At least I would think that you would have suspected that this was going to happen. So now what do we do? Well, I mean, we've got people camping out across from Habitat. When I was down there yesterday, there was like 6 bicycles and practically tents and camping gear. And I mean, it was just bizarre.
Well, one of the things, like I talked about the last time we talked about this effort to try to help clean up the criminal behavior in the parks. One of the things I think it's important to note is we have never made anyone leave the park. We've never ordered them to leave the park. We've simply put our presence down there and dealt with the criminal behavior. A lot of those people have decided that they didn't want to be around there when we were there, and they've moved down those streets. So part of the issue, there's got twofold problems. Some of those people that are kind of hanging out on those sidewalks and camping on those sidewalks, and you talked about people being harassed. We really want them to call us and let us know about that. If we see any kind of harassment or aggressiveness or any of that, that's that criminal behavior we've been working on dealing with, and we're going to take immediate enforcement action there. But the unsightliness is really not a criminal issue, so it's not something that we as the police department have any real authority to deal with. That's where we are looking at these community partners to help us out. That's where we're looking for the shelters and some of those groups that do provide services to those people that can step in and, you know, help out with that, maybe provide them places to store some of their things or deal with some of that those issues that are non-criminal behavior issues but are unsightly. And there are some things that a lot of people don't particularly like to see or want to see down there. So, again, we continue to work through this entire process and hoping that we can do a lot of things to help clean up some of these areas and make them a lot more attractive for people to come. I agree with you, and I'm very happy with some of the successes that we've had in the parks area by putting our priority and focus down in those areas. And we're going to continue to do that all along Kirkwood. We've expanded our patrols as well, as I'm sure you've noticed. But again, those individuals that are kind of in those areas aren't committing criminal offenses, which kind of takes us out of our ability to help. So now it's where some of these other community partners need to step in and start working to get some of those things resolved.
Captain Steve Kellums from the Bloomington Police Department is our guest this morning. He checks in with us every other Monday morning to get us caught up on what's happening here in our fair town. Margaret?
I was curious. I thought that we had shelters where these folks could sleep.
There are a few in town, yes.
Okay, and so really the ones who are choosing, it almost seems like they're trying to do this out of a political statement and trying to.
Those shelters are low barrier. Some of those shelters you have to meet certain behavior requirements, but I don't know what it is.
No, you're correct, Glass, and that is happening. Some of them do have, you know, they are, you know, barriers in place so they can't come, people can't come in there under the influence of drugs or alcohol. But there are some other places I thought that were available, and it just, I guess I don't have an issue with the individual who isn't putting up a sleeping bag, a tent, and has a mound of packaging, you know, as high as them.
Is that behavior, you know, criminal or illegal, Captain Kellums?
Most of it's not going to be criminal or illegal to have those kinds of items sitting out. You start getting into some areas about blocking sidewalks, but as long as people can move through there, it is unsightly, it is uncomfortable, but it doesn't cross that line of being illegal. And okay, when it does, we will take action.
And the resources we've talked about, you talk about training new officers, getting officers ready, people applying for the process. This patrolling, extra patrolling of People's Park and the areas downtown has spread your focus. I don't know if your resources, I want you to answer that question. They spread you thin, because as we look at the front page of Saturday's HT, I'm getting back in the swing of things from being gone all weekend. Overdose, 10 cases, 1 death. I mean, do you have enough to handle all this?
Well, it does. It stretches our resources very, very thin. You know, changing our priorities, trying to put more effort down there, it's a struggle for the amount of resources that we have. And whenever we get a big spike of a specific issue or problem, like the overdoses that we had over the weekend, that does definitely stretch our resources very thin. Our guys already are working extremely hard to maintain the safety level that we want and expect. And, you know, they have to continue to do that, which means that some of those non-priority calls or those things that aren't happening right now, they do have to wait, and they take longer for us to get officers to get there to deal with those or take those reports. So we definitely ask for patience from the public on something that's not an emergency, but those things that are emergent, those things that are public safety, public health issues that are immediate, we're going to respond right away and do everything we can to get there. But it just, again, illustrates the need for resources for our agency to respond to all the different problems that we have to deal with every day in the city of Bloomington. It's not a small town anymore, as said before. It is a city, and it has some city problems. And we work real hard to maintain the safety level that we want. I'm really proud of what we've been able to do. However, it's tasking.
And the interesting part is, I know we've had this conversation for the last few years when we've joined you. We always talk about, is this the off season? Does it quiet down for summer? And here are your answers. The answers are simply no, and not close. Where are we on the investigation moving forward? I know you can't describe details of it. We all understand that. But is this something that looks like it's going to be quote unquote solved, or is this just going to take more legwork and detective work to try and solve this mystery?
Well, solved is kind of a relative term.
I believe
we're working really hard to identify who may have been responsible for some of these specific overdoses. We've seen a big problem with the spice. That seems to be where it's mostly focused at this time. And when you start getting these synthetic compounds with who knows what mixed in, clearly there's a product out there that is having an adverse effect on a wide variety of users. So I always go back to, you know, terms like bad batch and things like that. I hate to say, because there is no good batch of drugs. Drugs kill you. And so this just seems to be something that's a little bit different, a little bit unusual, and we're definitely seeing the medical issues and spikes because of it. And our investigators have been working really hard over the weekend. They've been in working consistently to try to identify who might be responsible for this. And just like the overdoses earlier in the year, in I believe February with the heroin, we ended up making approximately 5 different arrests off of that for people dealing in those heroin that we believe were kind of responsible or part of that overdose series. We made those arrests, and I strongly believe that we'll be making arrests or in this case as well. But when I talk about relative, it's still addiction issues. It's still some issues that involve a variety of things that we can't solve on our own. So hopefully it's a great eye-opener for a lot of different people, from the addict themselves and the user all the way up to the community, and what they can start working on to try to provide resources needed to solve all these problems.
Yeah, and I don't know how many people remembered February was just a few months ago. That wasn't February of 2010. That was February of this year.
Right.
All right. Tough, but good. And we appreciate the effort. We appreciate, again, being stretched. We know that's not the easiest part, but to serve and protect, I think everyone should thank you and the gang down there for all your hard work, and Chief Dekoff for trying to, again, spread it around and try to put out wildfires here and there.
Well, thank you very much. And like I said, we're continuing to do everything we can and work just as hard as we can. And, you know, if you see those officers out there working, thank them, because it's hard to walk foot. It's hard when it was 90 degrees and the guys were in their body armor and suits walking down there. It's tough. So they're trying.
Yeah. I see your officers, some of them, and I do from IUPD, and those guys come in and they try on their armor and then get their shirts fitted around it. And all I can think of is that is some heavy stuff. And so
it's heavy lifting too. It's part of it.
Yeah, we've done a number of things for various folks and happy to do it. So you guys be careful out there.
Thanks for your time, my friend. We appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you. You guys be safe. Bye-bye, Glass. Bye-bye, Margaret.
Captain Steve Kellums from the Bloomington Police Department checking in here on a Monday morning. He makes his visits with us every other Monday morning, so we'll get caught up with him, I believe, on the 10th and see what else is happening. And never a dull moment. There is no off season. Kids go home for the summer. It's not always about the kids. Let's remember
that's pretty
that
obvious
as well.